Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin, Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the second line from the top. The Gemara opens with a pasuk from Hosea, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hei. The context of this pasuk is a discussion concerning Yankev Avinu. And the pasuk says, Vayosar el Malach, Vayuchal, Bocho, Vayishanen Lo. The pasuk describes a struggle with the angel. This, of course, was the sugya that we have been discussing on the past daf, the struggle with Yaakov Avinu and the sorrow shel Esav, the angel of Esav. And here it indicates that there was a struggle and there was someone succeeded. And it says all in pronouns, he cried and beseeched him. So the Gemara goes on to say, Eini yodea mi na sesar lemi. Just from this pasuk alone, I wouldn't know who became the officer or superior over whom. However, kishu omer, when the pasuk says elsewhere in Bereishis, it says ki sarisa im Elohim, you Yankev Avinu had struggled with an angel. Heve omer Yankev nase sar lamalach. So in the pasuk of Hosea, we understand Vayosar el Malach, it means that Yankov became the superior, the officer, the controller over the Malach. The pasuk in Hosea also said Bocho Vayishanen Lo, he cried and beseeched to him, Eini yodea mi Bocho lami. Just from these words, being that they're all pronoun oriented, I don't know who cried to whom. Kishomer Vayomer Shalcheni. Well, when the pasuk in Bereishis says the Malach said to Yankov, "Send me," Heve Omer Malach Bocha Yankov. So from here we see that in Hosea the pasuk there was the Malach beseeching Yankov. Ki soriso im Elokim v'im anashim. This pasuk describes Yankov Avinu having overcome, and it says here, Elokim and Anashim. Omar Rabo, Remez Romaz Loi. Here the posuk is hinting, She'asidim Shnei Sorim Lotzeis Mimenu. This reference to Im Elokim Vim Anashim is a reference to two officers, two leaders that will come forth from him, from Yankov. Rosh Goylo Shebabovel, the head of the Jewish diaspora community in Bavel, the Nasi Shebeitz Yisrael, and the leader of the Jewish community in Israel. From the fact that he makes reference to the head of the diaspora community, Mikan Romaz Lo Golos, you see built into this an allusion to a future exile. The Gemara now goes on to darshan a posuk that was part of the story of the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, the officer in Paro's court in charge of the drinks. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a title or topic heading, Droshos al HaPosuk Bebreishis Perek Mem Posuk Yud. We're going to have teachings regarding this posuk, B'Chaloim Sar HaMashkim, that was featured in the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, the minister in charge of the drinks, Paro's drinks. And it says in the pasuk, Uvagefen Shloisha Sarigim, we have included the entire pasuk on the inside margin where you can see we've written in the Pasuk of Bracious Mam Perek Yud, and we've indicated it's from the Chaloim, the dream of the Sar HaMashkim. And it says there, Uvagefen Shloisha Sarigim, Vhi Kefarachas Olsa Netzo, Hivshilu Ashkeloiseho Anovim. The Sar HaMashkim describes a vine with three branches and blossoming clusters of grapes. So now, the Gemara. And we should say ahead of time that the this omid, a large portion of it, is going to be dedicated to this pasuk. Uvagefen shloisha sorigin. Omar Reb Chiya bar Abba Omar Rav. Elu shloisha sore geim hayoytzim miYisrael b'chol dor vador. This is a reference to three geim. Rashi says ashir mikrovim l'machus. Three very wealthy people and that have connections to the government in every generation. Pa'omim shishnayim kan ve'echod be'eretz Yisrael. Sometimes two are in Bavel and one of them is in Israel. Pa'omim shishnayim be'eretz Yisrael ve'echod kan. And at other times, two are in the land of Israel and one here in Bavel. Yahivu rabbonon einayu. Beravno Ukvo, Beravno Nechemya, Bnei Barte Darav. And in reference to this posuk, the Gemara in its own time, literally the Gemara says that the rabbis gave their eyes upon, they gazed upon, or we can say the Rabbonin identified two grandsons of Rav. That's Ravno Ukvo and Ravno Nechemya, the sons of the daughter of Rav. So Rav had two very wealthy, powerful grandchildren. Rova, Omar, the second approach to the Shlosha Sarigim referenced in the Pasuk, Eli Shlosha Sore Goyim Shemalamdim Schus Al Yisrael B'chol Dor V'dor. This is a reference to three angels of the Goyim. Three angels that are in charge of different nations that say beneficial things, that speak on to the benefit of Israel in every generation. We now have a Tanaic source. In this source you'll notice triangles, and after the source as well there are continued triangles. We have recorded in our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, Sidro Shel Droshos Al HaPosuk Hanal. We'll now have a series of Droshos covering the whole Pasuk. Up till now we saw two Pshatim that focused on the Shloisha Sarigim, the three branches. Now we will see the Pasuk Darshan, and at the opening of this Brisa, we've underlined the phrases of the Pasuk so that you can see which part is the source of the source name of the Pasuk and which is the Drasha. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Geffen, and again, we're referring to Precious Mem Pasuk Yud, and we've included the Pasuk on the inside margin and we read it before. So here it's broken down. Geffen Zeha Oilam. The vine is a remez, is a reference to the world. Shlosha Sarigim Zeh Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. The three branches are reference to the three patriarchs. Vehi Kefarachas also Netza Elu Ha'imahis. Hivshilu, the Imolos are the four matriarchs. Hivshilu Ashkulosea Novim, the vine is bearing clusters of grapes. Elu Hashvotim, those are the tribes. So according to Rabbi Lezer, we have a description of the world and a focus on the origin of the Jewish people and their eventual coming into existence through the tribes. Omer lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'chimarin lo la'odo ma shehoyo. Is it such that in a dream one is shown that which was in the past? And I believe it's fair to say that we're talking in the context of biblical dreams that have a prophetic context to them, and we're not talking necessarily about each one of our own dreams that we happen to dream on an ordinary night. But a dream that's featured in the Torah, we can assume, and we get this sense from Rabbi Yeshua, that the point is to show something of a prophetic nature. So Rabbi Yeshua challenges Rabbi Lezer's explanation and says, is one shown something that which already took place, as Rabbi Lezer described? After all, the Sar HaMashkim lived at a point after everything that was just described. So Rabbi Yeshua says, "V'halo ein marin loy lodem elamashe osidlios." One is shown only that which is going to be in the future. Elo, so he has his own shot. Geffen zet Torah. The Geffen, the vine, is a reference to Torah which had not been given yet. Shlosha sarigim elu Moshe v'aron u'miriam. The three branches are these three leaders. V'hi kaparachas also netzah, which indicates that it was sprouting, blossoming, Elu Sanhedrin. Hifshiu Ashkelasa Anovim, Elu Hatzadikim Shebechol Dor V'Dor. The clusters of grapes are reference to the righteous in every generation. Omar Rabba Gamliel, Adayin Tzrichim Onu L'Modoi. We still need the drosha of the Modoi is a reference to Rabbi Lozer HaModoi, which we'll see very shortly. The Moikim Le Kule Bechad Mokom, who establishes all of the drushes in the Pasuk, all of the elements of the Pasuk, in one location. And here the Gemara, the Brisa presents Rabbi Lozer HaModoi Omer, Geffen Ze Yerushalayim, Shlosha Sarigim Ze Mikdash, Melech V'Koy Gadol. The three branches are a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, the king and the Kohen Gadol, all of them were stationed in Yerushalayim. The Kiparachas also Netzah, and it was blossoming. Elu Pirchei Kuna, these are the young Kohanim that serve in the Beis HaMikdash. If Shilu Ashkelose Anovim, Elu Nesachim. And the ripening clusters of grapes is a reference to the wine offerings that were offered on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Moikim Lo v'Matonis. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi establishes this pasuk with regard to gifts that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. The Omer Yeshua ben Levi, Geffen zu Torah. The Almighty gave us a gift, namely the Torah. Shlosha sarigim ze be'er amud anan umon. That's a reference to the well from which they had water in the midbar. The pillar of clouds that surrounded the Jewish nation in the Midbar, and Mon, the heavenly food. V'hi keparachas also netzah, elu habikurim. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Elu habikurim, shechnison le'eretz toiva umaleo peros, the gift of the land of Israel, in which there was a great deal of plenty and full of fruits, umavien mimeno bikurim beprichas gemar bishulam, and bikurim are brought at the point at which the fruits become ripe. The pasuk says also hivshivu ashkeloseo anovim, the Sar HaMashkim in his dream saw this vine with clusters of ripe grapes, elu nesachim. That's a reference to the wine offerings. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Omar Geffen Elu Yisrael V'cheinu Omer Geffen Mimitzrayim Tasiya. Geffen is a reference to the nation of Israel, as this other pasuk refers. It says the Geffen Mimitzrayim Tasiya, a vine will travel forth from Mitzrayim. Now the vine that travels forth from Mitzrayim is a reference to the Jewish people that exited Mitzrayim. Shloisha sarigim, elu shloisha regolim shisrael olim ben b'chol shana v'shana. The three branches are reference to the three major holidays during the year during which the Jews travel to Yerushalayim. V'hi kepoirachas higia zmanon shayisrael lifrois v'lirbois. He is seeing in this vision the time for the Jews to come and multiply. V'chein hu omer uvnei Yisrael poru Vayishritzu. And in fact, that happened after this incident with the Sar HaMashkim. Also, Netzah, what is that a reference to? Higia Zmanu Shisrael Ligoel. The time of the Jews has come for redemption. V'cheinu Omer, and it says in this context, Vayez Nitzchom Al Begodai, V'chol Malbushai Egolti. First, let us take a look at the Rashi, also Netzah, also Zman Hanotzah, L'hazois Dam Nitzchon Shel Mitzrim. The pasuk is a reference to the exodus of the Jews, during which time the Egyptians were defeated. So Rashi says that the time has come for the splattering of the blood of defeat of the Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians. The pasuk that was just cited from Yeshaya, Vayez Nitzchom, so the Rabbeinu Gershon points out that Netzah in our pasuk of also Netzah is understood to be like the word Nitzchom, Vayez Nitzchom. And Rashi explained that Nitzchom means their defeat. The defeat of the Egyptians was splattered on my clothing. The Gemara continues, Hivshilu Ashkelosu Anovim, Higi Azmana Shel Mitzrayim, Lishtois Kois Atar Eila. And now the time has come for the Egyptians to drink the cup of poison. V'hainu diyoma rova shloisha koisis homeros mitzrayim loma. And it's in this context that Rava says the psukim that refer to the three cups. And Rashi says in the story of the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, there's a reference to three cups. Why three cups? One cup that it drank, one cup of poison, so to speak, of defeat that they drank in the time of Moshe. And one that they drank in the time of Paro the lame. He was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, so it was another defeat for the Mitzrayim. The Echad, a third defeat of theirs, Shasido Lishtos, that they will eventually drink the cup of poison, that they will drink Im Kol Ha'ivdei Kechavim, together with all of the Gentiles, that in the future, in the day of great judgment, the day of redemption, we'll say of the final redemption of the Jewish people, so there will be an accounting on the part of all the Gentiles who persecuted the Jews all through the generations, and along with them will be the Egyptians. Omar le Rabbi Abba le Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba. Rabbi Abba tells Rabbi Yirmiya, Kidorish Lahu Rav Lahani Kroi Bagadato, when Rav expounded on these verses in his Agadic lectures, Kavosech Dorish Lahu, he darshaned them like you. It should be pointed out that we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and This is to correspond with an arrow further up, opposite the line in which Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba appears. And so we saw Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba's explanation of the pasuk, and in this case, Rabbi Abba is telling Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba that when Rav expounded on these pasukim, he darshan it like you, like Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba did above. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Uma zu kegefen nimshala. The nation of Israel is compared to a vine. And here we're not dealing with a pasuk so much as the physical aspects of the vine. Zmoros Sheba, the branches, Elu Bale Batim. That's a reference to we'll call them the business people, the business members of Klal Yisrael. The Rashi explains, Samoros Shebo Elu Bali Batim, Dema Hazmoro Hazu, just like the branch, Motsia Luvin V'Olim Upri, many things grow from a branch, the luvin, the tendrils, the leaves, the fruits, Fu Iker Hagefen, Kach, the Fu Iker Hagefen is probably a reference to the fruits, is the main product of the Geffen, but it comes forth from the branches. Kach bali batim gomle chesed umachzikim yedei aniyim. So too the business members of the Jewish people, they do good. They do good. They support the poor and mefazer umonim lemalchus b'shvil achim umiskaimim al yodam. And they also use their money to pay off the government when they are trying to oppress Jews, so as to relieve this pressure, the rich ones, the business people of the Jewish nation, pay off the government. The analogy continues in the Gemara, Eshkolos. We've underlined the different parts of the vine that are being explained. Eshkolos Shabal, the clusters of grapes, Elu Tamidei Chochamim. That's a reference to the Torah scholars, which is certainly the crown of the Jewish people. It's Torah scholars, and hence the vine, the main product of the vine, are its fruits. Olin sheba elu amehoretz. The leaves are compared to the, well, we should say the amehoretz are compared to the leaves. Amehoretz are people that we can say they work the land, and they are not the most educated individuals. So they're compared to the leaves. How are we to understand or appreciate this comparison? So we see the Rashi, Olin, Shebegefen, the leaves on a vine, Soivlin Haruach, they absorb the wind. In other words, they serve as a buffer. Umaginim al Eshkolos, and the presence of leaves is a defense for the benefit of the grape clusters. Shalayakim shrav shemesh ruach, so the clusters should not be affected by heat and the excess sun and winds. Kach amehoret, so too with the people that work the land. Chorshin vizorin vikotzrin mashal milchomim ochlim, they basically are responsible for the preparation of the food, that which talmilchom eventually eat. Continuing in the Gemara, knoknos sheba, knoknos are the little tendrils that grow. Rashi explains they're not useful for anything. So elu, the Gemara says, elu reikonim sheb Yisrael, these are the empty ones of Israel. They empty, right, as ignorant and non mitzvah performers, v'hainu d'shochu mitam, and based on this, it was sent from mitam, from Eretz Yisrael. Liboy rachmim iskalyo al alaya. The iskalyo are the clusters. In other words, this message is turning to the talmidei chachamim that they should pray. That's liboy rachmi, is to daven or pray on behalf of al alaya, for the leaves. So the clusters should pray for the leaves. The omole alaya lo niskaimen iskalaya. If not for the leaves, the clusters of grapes would not have any sustainability. The pasuk says, "Vo ekreho li b'chamisho sor kesef." The pasuk goes on to say, and we have written on the inside margin, "V'choymer seorim v'lesech seorim." This pasuk is spoken by the Almighty, and it mentions "Vekro li b'chamisho sor kesef." Let us now see how the Gemara darshins this. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yotzalek, Ein kira eloloshen mechira. The opening expression of "Ekreho" indicates a sale. And where do we see the word kira associated with a sale? Shenemar b'kivri asher korisi li. There he is describing the grave that I bought. So bury me in my grave that I bought. B'chamisha asar, the pasuk has said, and I paid 15 kesef. Now, b'chamisha asar is ze tes vav nisan. This is a reference to the 15th day of Nisan, shebo nigalu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, that the Jews were redeemed, they left Mitzrayim. The pasuk said that I paid, it says 15 kesef. So the word kesef is explained, kesef elu tzadikim. This is a reference to the pious ones. V'chenu omer, tzror ha-kesef lokach biyado. Rashi says, tzror ha-kesef, b'chelek, in the last perek of Sanhedrin, mefarshinu lei b'tzadikim. This process is explained as a reference to the pious ones. The shochle amun umov v'chanetzar, k'deshamu l'neviyim, nis'abu b'churbana. When prophets had prophesied the impending destruction of the temple, so Amon Amov sent a message to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the head of Bovel. Ta achrevinu, come, they are going to be destroyed. So the Amon Amov were inviting Nebuchadnezzar to come and defeat the Jews, whose prophecy of destruction has already been said. Shalach lehu mistafino melahon. So Nebuchadnezzar sent, I'm afraid of their God. Shochule ki eino ish meveso. They sent back, don't worry, the Almighty has departed. He's not going to protect the Jews. Shochlu bekreva osi. Well, Nebuchadnezzar sent back, well, he's going to come soon. He's going to come back, and I don't want to start up with the Almighty. Shochule holach baderech lemerachok. No, the Almighty's gone on a long trip. He's not coming back. Shachlui kotzadik the boy Rachmi, Nebuchadnezzar sent back to them that I don't want to come. They are the pious ones that will pray, and their prayers will be answered. Shachulei tzor kesef lokach biyado, tzadikim shibem himisam. And you see, we've dashed underlined this in the Rashi. This is the main point. It says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he took his long journey, he took with him the tzadikim. That means that the tzadikim have already died; they're not left, and the reference the pasuk makes to the tzaddik and to the righteous one is tzror ha-kesef lokach. The kesef, a reference to the righteous ones. So, continuing in the Gemara, chomer sorim v'lesech sorim. This was in the pasuk that was in Hosea. We had written this on the inside margin as we read the pasuk before. Chomer is an amount, 30 sa'ah. 30 saw of barley. The lesech saw. Lesech is also an amount. It's 15 saw. So we have 30 and 15. Elu memhei tzadikim. Memhei is 45 tzadikim. Sha'olo miskayim bohem. This is a reference to 45 righteous ones upon whom the world is maintained. In other words, in their merit, the world continues. As far as the numbers are concerned, I don't know if 30 are here in Bavel and 15 of the righteous are in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. Or are 30 in Eretz Yisrael and 15 here? Kishuomer, well, when the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Ve'ekha Shloshim HaKesef, Ve'ashlich Oysoit Beis Hashem El HaOitzar. Here's a reference to 30, and kesef we saw before was a reference to tzadikim. In fact, we see sa'orim and kesef being two expressions referring to tzadikim. The double reference is expounded upon in the commentary of the Marsha. For those of you who are interested, you can look there for the further elaboration. So we see a pasuk that says the 30 kesef, or 30 tzadikim, I threw into the Beis Hashem, to the Beis Hamikdash, into the Otsar, the storage area. So we see that the 30 is associated with the Beis Hamikdash, which was in Eretz Yisrael. Havi Omer, so from this we can conclude, Shloshim Beretz Yisrael, Vites Vov Kan. 30 tzaddikim are in the land of Israel, and 15 in Bovel. Omar Abaye, Virubayu, the majority of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, Mishtakhi are found bebei kinishto detusi afto. They're found in the shuls under the side chamber. In other words, the tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael can be found in a certain location in different shuls. different synagogues. V'hainu dichtiv v'omar aleihem im tov b'neichem hovu schari v'im lo chadolu v'yishkelu es schari shloshim kesef. Here in this pasuk we have again a reference to shloshim kesef, and the Gemara wants us to make a connection between this and the shloshim kesef that we mentioned before. We have a diamond here that we actually started already, so in our note on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh heading where we feature the diamond, we've noted Deos Lahasbir Ma Merameis HaPosuk B'Zecharia V'Echo Shloishim Kesef. Rav Yehuda Omer, continuing in the Mara, this Shloishim Kesef is Elu shloishim tzadikei umos ha'olam miskaimim aleihem. This is a reference to the 30 righteous Gentiles in whose merit the nations of the world continue to exist. Ula omar elu shloishim mitzvahs shekibu aleihem b'nei noach ve'ein mekaimin elu shlosha. This posuk that makes reference to shloishim akesef is a reference to 30 mitzvahs that the Gentiles were obligated to fulfill, and in reality they fulfill only three. One, achas she'ein, at the top of Omid Beis, she'ein kosvin ksuba lezechorim. Very interesting observation, and bear in mind this is a Gemara that's written close to 2,000 years ago. And Rashi, who was about 1,000 years ago, comments on the top line, the afapi shechashilu mishkav zohar umiachdom zohar litashmishan, even though homosexuality was common amongst the Gentiles, and a lot of goyim, a lot of Gentiles have their constant partner. In other words, it's not one day with one guy and another day with another guy, but miyachdim lem zocher l'tashmishan. They live together on an ongoing basis. Nevertheless, and it should be pointed out that homosexuality is forbidden for Gentiles and Jews alike. It's a very major offense. One who engages in it, even if one makes the claim, well, what can you do? I was created like that. That's essentially the whole point of Torah and mankind, if you will, where we were created and with different types of tendencies, and our obligation in this world is to challenge those tendencies and overcome the tendencies. So even if one claims that he feels drawn toward another one of the same gender, a man being drawn to a man, a male drawn to a male, that may be true. He may feel that drawing. Nevertheless, he has been created with the intent of his overcoming that tendency. A person may have a feeling of lust for money. That doesn't give license for his going and robbing a bank. One may have a feeling of great hatred toward another individual who has wronged him and would like to see his demise. That doesn't give license to committing murder. And in the same vein, one may have a certain sexual tendency, but that doesn't give license for giving vent to that particular attraction. That is basically the whole point of Olam Hazeh, the need to overcome natural built-in tendencies, so that the claim of, well, what can I do? I was created like that, doesn't hold water. So the Rashi is explaining our Gemara and says that even though many practice this deviant lifestyle, nevertheless, Ein, Rashi goes on, Ein noagim kalas rosh mitzvazu kolkach, they don't go so far with regard to this deviancy and this sin as to legitimatizing it to the extent sheikh devu lahem ksuba, to write up a marriage document between two men, two males, two people of the same gender. There are attempts, as we are recording this shiur, in contemporary society where even this seems to be challenged, where there are attempts in certain parts of the world to recognize what we call a marriage between two people of the same gender, two men, specifically two men. Maybe this is foretelling a certain break in tradition of humanity, that up till now humanity realized that this is a form of deviancy, but wouldn't give actual license to it. And therefore it's a matter of great concern that there are those that want to legislate it as being an official form and legitimate form of marriage or family status. The second thing that the Gentiles do observe is She'ein Shoiklin Bosor Hameis B'Makulin. There are two explanations in the Rashi when the Gemara makes reference to Bosor Hameis. The first pshat in Rashi is that they don't sell in their butcher shops human flesh. In other words, people may eat human flesh, but not in such a public fashion as to sell it in butcher shops. The other pshat that Rashi gives is Basar Hameis is a reference to animals, not human beings, but animals that died on their own. That they would not sell meat of animals that died. Rather, animals that are slaughtered or killed, that is what was commonly sold, and not this. And the third thing that Gentiles continue to practice is V'echot Shemechabdim Es HaTorah. This is something that is of great significance, in my opinion, that shows that the people of the world, the non-Jewish world, recognizes the significance of the Torah. And as far as the Jewish people are concerned, many times Jews want to, we'll say, find favor in the eyes of the non-Jewish world. Well, if that's what drives some people, then that would be all the more, one could all the more accomplish that goal by immersing himself in Torah study, being that the nations of the world have a respect for the Torah. Continuing in the Gemara, we now go back to the issue of the Gid HaNoshe. The topic heading on the outside margin is Gid HaNoshe Eino Noheg Be'of. The prohibition of the Gid HaNoshe, the leg nerve that applies to animals, does not apply to birds, to fowl. The Mishnah said that it's not Noheg Be'of Mitnei She'ein Lo Kaf, because it doesn't have Kaf. Kaf is a form or a shape of meat that is characteristic of the legs of the animal. The Gemara asks, "V'ho kochazino de islei?" But we see that a bird has this flesh around its thigh. So the Gemara answers, "Islei." Well, it does have flesh around its thigh. However, v'lo ogil, it's not round in shape. And being that it's not round in shape, it's not what the Torah had in mind when it forbade the Gid HaNoshe. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, what about two, we'll say, variant situations? Is lay l'of v'ogil? Imagine a bird had this rounded flesh around its thigh, and a case. Another case, is le lebehema v'lo ogil, or a behema that had flesh around its thigh, but it wasn't rounded. My, what would the halacha be? Boser didei azlinon. Do we focus at the animal itself, the specific animal? Oy boser mine azlinan, or do we follow the variety of creature? So if you take the first approach, boser didei, then in the case of a bird that happened to have a rounded say meat formation around its thigh, so it would be included in the prohibition of Gid Hanoshe. If you look at the variety, namely the realm of birds, is not included. That would be Boser Mine. Similarly, with regard to the behemoth, if you have a behemoth that has flesh around its thigh, but it's not rounded, then if you go Boser Didei, it would not be prohibited. The Gid Hanoshe of such an animal would not be prohibited. However, if you say Boser Mine, cows or animals in general are included in the prohibition. So even though this specific animal does not have rounded flesh around its thigh, nevertheless it would be forbidden. Teiku, this question remains unresolved. V'noheg b'shlil. Omar Shmuel. Before we continue in the Gemara, we should take note of our Nosei Mivneh heading, because as we look on in the Gemara, we notice a series of double underlines that appear. On the outside margin, we've written Nosei Mivneh, and a double underline is featured. The Nosei is the topic heading, and Mivneh is a structural note. Shlavim, these represent stages. The double underlined points in the Gemara represent stages. Levarer, to clarify, Kavonas Shmuel, the Omar, we want to understand the intent of Shmuel's statement that said, Chelboi muter ledivrei hakol. It's chelev, and there's a pronoun here, it's chelev is muter according to all opinions. Well, it's chelev, who's chelev? Is it the chelev of a shliel, the chelev of an embryo, or of a fetus found inside a slaughtered pregnant animal? Or is it the chelev of the gid? Chelev is tissue matter. It's hard for me to translate it. It's often translated as fats, and often it's referred to as forbidden fats. But as you study sugis concerning chelev, you see it's not only fats, but it's also membranous material attached to different organs and parts of an animal. So it's much easier in presenting a shir on the topic is by simply using the term chelev to refer to all of these. So let us now turn to the Gemara. The Mishnah has said that the Gid Hanoshe is noheg regarding an embryo or a fetus. Omar Shmuel, v'chelbo muter ledivrei hakol. And its chelev is mutter according to all opinions. Well, chelbo demai. Who's chelev? Ilemo. This particular ilemo lasts a number of lines, and that you can see through the long marking that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. We've written in small letters ilemo with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form this suggestion. But for those of you who have learned many Dapim of Gemara, you know that the Ilema word indicates something that almost always is rejected. So here is a suggestion that won't hold up. Ilema de Shliel, if Shmuel's comment regarding the Chelev means the Chelev of the fetus, everyone agrees is allowed, that's not true. V'ha miflik pliki bei. That, in fact, is the subject of controversy. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. It says, Noheg b'shlil, the Gid Hanoshe of a fetus is forbidden. V'chelbo osir, and the shlil's, the fetus's chelev is osir. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eino noheg b'shlil. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that the Gid Hanoshe is not binding, is not prohibited by the fetus. V'chelbo muter, and its chelev is allowed. The Omer of Elazar, Omer of Oshaya, Machlokes beben Tisha Chai. The Machlokes here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda concerns an embryo 9 months old found inside a slaughtered mother. V'holach Rabbi Meir l'shitoso, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitoso. And Rabbi Yehuda, in saying that the Gid Hanoshe and the chelev of the shliel is forbidden, is consistent with his opinion or stance in general regarding 9-month Ben Teisha Chais, who Rabbi Meir says that even though the mother was slaughtered, it requires its own slaughtering later on. Rabbi Meir therefore grants separate animal status, separate full animal status to the Ben Teisha Chai. Naturally, then, the prohibitions of Gid HaNosha and Chelev will apply as well. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the slaughtering of the mother solves the need or removes the need of slaughtering for the Ben Teisha Chai, even though it continues to live and grows and develops, it doesn't need to be slaughtered anymore. It doesn't have full animal status as a result, so there's the restrictions that are characteristic of full animal status don't apply, including the Gid HaNosha and Chelev. So to suggest that Shmuel's comment that the Chelev of a Shliel, everyone agrees, is allowed, that is not accurate. We see that the Chelev of a Shliel is the subject of controversy between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. V'elo, Chelbo de Gid. Maybe what Shmuel is referring to is the Chelev, we'll say it's the Chelev material that surrounds the Gid HaNosha of all animals, no reference to fetuses, but all animals. And according to this suggestion, according to Shmuel, then the chelev of the gid, everyone will agree, is allowed. But that too is not true. Ha miflag pligi ba. This is the subject of controversy, and we'll see shortly that Rabbi Meir does not allow it. Tesanyo gid hanoshe. Mechatet acharov b'chol mokom shehu. You're supposed to seek it out and dig it out wherever Gid HaNosha is in the leg. V'chotech shmono meikoro divrei Rabbi Meir. And you cut out the fats as well. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, gomamo imashofi. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to cut out all of the fats, only that which is visible to the eye. You know, as before cutting it out, Rashi says, "Gomamo imashofi hachelev hagovoa, the upper level chelev, v'nire al hashofi, gomamo umashlicho mitnei maris ha'ayin shliyura keichel gid." It's thrown out only so people don't get the idea that you're eating gid. Avol ikoro v'shosho shishuman v'shol gid mutarin, but the stuff that's embedded in the depths of the meat of the leg, that does not have to be cut away. So to suggest that the chelev of the gid everyone holds is allowed, we see that's not true. Li'olam, the Gemara goes on to the next stage, li'olam chelbo de gid. Really, Shmuel's comment is in fact referring to the chelev of the gid. Umode Shmuel de l'Rabbi Meir midrabbanan aser. Shmuel will concede that according to Rabbi Meir, there's a rabbinic restriction concerning the chelev of the gid. But Shmuel's own statement was on a Torah level. In other words, before the Rabbanan intervened and issued additional restrictions, from the Torah standpoint, the chelev of the gid is not forbidden. Desanya, the Brisa, shows this idea. Ushmano muter v'Yisrael, Kadoshim Nagu Bo Iser. The Shuman, the fats of the Gid, is allowed, but the Jews, who are a holy people, accepted upon themselves restriction. My Lav, Rabbi Meir, he. Is it not so that this source is in accordance with Rabbi Meir? The Omar Mutter Min HaTorah V'Yosser Min HaRabbanan. And when it says here Mutter, it means, from a Torah standpoint, it's mutter, and the restriction is only rabbinic. The Gemara asks, or tries to challenge this conclusion and citation, this Tanaic source to support our answer, and asks Mimai, who says that this is Rabbi Meir, wherein you see he concedes that it's mutter from the Torah, Dilma Rabbi Yehuda he, maybe this source is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Avol le Rabbi Meir midoraisin ami oser. But as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, the shuman of the gid, the fats around the gid itself, are forbidden from a Torah level. And if we say this, then we don't have an explanation for Shmuel that said the chaylev according to everyone is mutter. So the Gemara rejects this last question and says, lo salka daitoch, you can't say that this source would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, we have another source that says, gid hanoshe mechateit acharov b'chol mokom shehu ushmono muter. Here we have a source that says that the gid hanoshe itself, you have to cut away wherever it is. In other words, seek it out and remove it. Wherever it is, even deeply embedded in the flesh. Ushmono muter, but its fats are allowed. Now, man shamisle disle chatita. Whose opinion is it that you require this chatita, this digging out, seeking out wherever it is? Rebbe Meir. If you look to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you can see that we have an arrow, and if you look back to a previous arrow, they line up, all to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see above a source in which it said, Gid Hanoshe Mechateit Acharov, and that section concluded with the name Rebbe Meir. So we see that this unnamed source is Rebbe Meir authored, by virtue of the fact you have this Mechateit approach to the Gid. V'ka'amar Shmono Muter, and it says in this source that the Shimon is allowed. So we see a basis for our last stage of analysis of Shmuel's comment, who said chelbo muter, we can say that the chelev of the gid is muter according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Meir, who is a strict opinion in these matters. But even he will agree that from a Torah perspective, it's allowed. If you see Rabbi Meir indicating some type of prohibition, that's purely on a rabbinic level. But Shmuel's original halacha was on a Torah level. And on a Torah level, according to everybody, the chelev or the shuman of the gid is mutter. Amar Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Mata amar Rav. Lo osru Torah elo knoknos shebo. We should point out that we have a topic heading that says that there's on the side, under the Nosei heading, Machlokes ma nichlal be'isir gid hanoshe. When we speak about the gid hanoshe being forbidden, what is forbidden? The gid hanoshe is essentially made of a main nerve, and there are little branches off of this main nerve. Rashi describes it in greater detail, but for our purposes, let's simply make a distinction between main the main trunk and the branches. So the first opinion that we see here, Rav says, Lo osra Torah elo knoknos shebo. The Torah answers only the branches that branch off the main nerve. They happen to have a taste to them. But the main trunk, so to speak, the main nerve itself is tasteless. It's like a piece of wood. It's called Eitz Be'alma. And as a result of it being tasteless, the Torah doesn't forbid such an item. Ula disagrees. Ula Amar Eitz Hu V'Torah Chai V'Olov. It's true that it's tasteless, but the Torah tells you, don't eat this. The Torah has labeled it forbidden, regardless of the fact that it's tasteless. As far as Ula is concerned, then it comes out that the main branch, or the main trunk, so to speak, the main nerve is Usur, the gid itself is Usur, but not the branchings. Omra Abaye, Kavose de Ula, Mistabar. Now we have a point here, we call it a long point. This is illustrated by the newness and circle of the immediate right hand side of the Gemara with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating that all of these lines opposite this vertical dashed line are here to make the point. So Abaye says, Kavose de Ulo Mistabra. Ula's approach seems more likely. The Omer of Sheshes Omer of Asi, Chutin Shebechelev Asurin, V'ein Chayovin Alehem. Chutin are literally little strings. Strings of tissue matter found in Chelev are Asur Midrabanan, but there is no Kores penalty that's characteristic of the chelev itself. Here we're talking about the chutin in the chelev. The chutin, these little strings, are, although usur rabbinically forbidden, they don't generate a kores punishment. Alma, we see from this, Chelev Omar Rachmana Velo Chutin, when the Torah forbids Chelev, it's forbidding the Chelev and not the strings in the Chelev. Hochanami, by the same token, Gid Omar Rachmana Velo Knoknos. The Torah forbids the Gid Hanoshe and not the little branchings that come off of it. And that essentially is what Ula himself had said. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, the Nosei. We will mention the Chutin Shebechelev, and also the Loiven Kulia. The Kulia is the kidney organ, and there's a membrane around it and a whitish substance that's found in there's an indentation in the kidney. You can call it a crack in the kidney, so to speak, and this loven, this white tissue matter, fills it up. Gufa, Omar of Sheshis, Omar Rav Asi. Chutin, well, Shebechelev, Asurin, Vein Chayav Amaleim. The strings found inside the Chelev are forbidden, but it doesn't carry with it a Kores penalty. Shebekuya, these are references to the Chutim in the Kuya, Asurin, Vein Chayav Amaleim. They are likewise forbidden, but there is no chiyuv kores if one eats it. Loven kulya, regarding the white tissue matter that's in the charitz, in the indentation of the kulya, Rebbe v'Rebchia, two opinions, chad osar v'chad shori, one bans it and one says it's okay. Rabo memartate lei. Rabbo digs it out. He roots it, uproots it. Rabbi Yochanan memartate le. Rabbi Yochanan also follows that practice. Rav Asi goim le. Rav Asi, with regard to the loven shibakuya, goim le. Rashi says, hachofui, only that which covers, avol bakuya ochal. In other words, the covered white substance that white substance that covers, that's on the outside of the kidney, that he would not eat. However, that which was more internal, embedded in it, that he would eat. You can see we have then these two approaches, that of Rabbo and Rabbi Yochanan versus Rav Asi. Omar Abaye Kavose de Rav Asi de Rabbi Asi Mistabro. His approach is more likely. The Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Chelev, at the top of Tzadi Gimel Lamed Aleph, Chelev Shahabosar Choifo Isoi, Chelev that's covered by meat, Mutter. Almo, we can see from here that as far as the Torah prohibition is concerned, Sha'al Haksolim, Omar Achmona Velo Shebesoch Haksolim, the Torah makes reference to Chelev Haksolim, one of the sections of an animal, and it says the chelev that's on top of, on, or on outside the ksolim, on top of the ksolim is forbidden, but not that which is embedded in it. Hochanami, by the same token, with regard to the chelev of the kloyos, she'al ha-kloyos omar rachmona velo shebesoch ha-kloyos, that which is on the surface of the kloyos, not that which is embedded. And therefore, of Asi, was on firm ground when he removed that which was superficial, but that which was embedded, he would eat. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.